We're not going to keep you too long, but we're going to continue. I just feel impressed to continue just a little more in this particular area of being led by the Spirit of God or living a Spirit-led life. I think most of us have experienced, I will say this, if you just quiet down, you know, sometimes if we get quiet from life's busyness, we'll hear him, and we'll begin to recognize his promptings and leadings. Sometimes there's just so much noise we don't recognize him. We don't recognize his promptings, and when we begin to recognize some things, most of us go, "Oh, that was him." Yes, that was him. And a lot of times I can reflect back, and I'm sure you can too, even in your, before you knew Christ, he was trying to get in. He was leading, and we just didn't recognize it because we were in a darkened state, our minds were darkened. So we didn't see clearly, and we didn't understand. But thank God for his Spirit that lives in us, and we all can be led, every one of us, from the adults to the children. And I'll tell you, you know, here's an interesting thing. What does the Scripture say that we are to be led by the Spirit of God? Or he bears witness with our spirit. And if we can begin to, just like we're talking here, we're not preaching at you, we're just talking, we're dialoguing as inspired by the Holy Ghost. And if you will do that at home with your children, if you'll talk about things like this and just talk about it, you'll find that the children will begin to recognize his promptings, because you can't be with your children 24/7. Married folks, you can't be together 24/7. And so there should be training. You know, we're all in school, you know, all of us from the top down. We're in school. And so in school, what are we doing? We're learning. We're learning things, and we should be learning how to be led by the Spirit of God. Because, as I was saying on Sunday, every one of us, some more than others, have a lot of choices in front of you. You got tons of choices. Should I buy this? Should I get this car or this car? Should I buy this house or this? Should I buy this or this? Or should I go here or go here? Should I invest in this or this? And a lot of times, your children ask you those questions, or whoever it is. Parishioners ask the pastors, "What should I do?" "I don't know." Go ask the Holy Ghost. He's the one leading you. I'm going to have to get quiet and do the same thing you are. And I might come up and say, "You know what? I have no idea. I don't know." And so it's good to start learning how to be led by the Spirit of God. And there are some, I'd say this, there are some keys that we can follow to be more sensitive to his leading. That's another way of saying it. There are some keys that we can follow to be more sensitive to him. And we're learning those keys. You know, if you don't walk in love, that would be a key, wouldn't it? So that would be a key. If you're not walking in love, you can't be sensitive to him. Amen. So there's some things that we can learn. And when we think we're there, you know, then he'll open something else up and we'll find out we didn't know a thing. Or as much as we thought we did. So I think that if we spend time just dialoguing with one another, we can begin to recognize that he has been leading us all along, and sometimes we didn't recognize it. And I was saying this on Sunday, that billions have been spent to develop the mind. Billions of dollars have been spent to develop the body. You look at all the health places to go exercise and all that, all the billions of dollars to develop these areas. How much time is being spent to develop our spirit? Because you can't be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God until you recognize your own spirit. You got to first recognize, I am a spirit. And somebody, I have a spirit. I'm a spirit. I live in a body. I have a soul or a mind. And there's another person that lives inside of this spirit that's taken up residence that bears witness with my spirit. So a lot of times, you know, let's just jump over here. We should pray, I guess. I want to read this scripture. I have it here. You know, we always talk about the Spirit of God bearing witness. What does it say? With our spirit. But when you look at Romans 9:1, it says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness. So your spirit will lead you. How do I know that? Well, let me tell you something. If you say enough negative things in your life, you plant enough negative things with your words, what happens? You hear it, it gets deposited in your heart, and you keep saying, I can't do this, I don't have this, I'm not smart enough, I'll never have this. You know what will happen? Your spirit will lead you to make bad choices. I just never have good friends. It just seems like I'm always around the wrong people. I'm always at the wrong place at the wrong time. Guess what? Thoughts will come to you. Go over here. And it'll be one mistake after another. Because your spirit will lead you. Your spirit will lead you. And so, what do we want? Do we want just our spirit to lead us in life? No. We want a co-witness. So that when I'm about ready to make a choice and I'm going this way, there's a witness that's inside that goes, no, don't go that way. Don't go that way. There's a witness inside, a co-witness. Or if I'm going down this road over here and I'm heading this way and the co-witness says, yep, that's the way, that's the right way. See, your spirit can lead you, but we want a co-witness. And that's what this scripture verse says in Romans. When it says, the Spirit itself or himself beareth witness with our spirit. Beareth witness is a joint witness. So I don't want just the witness in my spirit. I want a joint witness. I want the helper, the comforter who was sent to come and live inside me to help me and lead me. Let's get that on tape. Let's roll back the videotape. Because I know somebody will say, was that on? Well, did you put that? So put that on tape. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time that we can talk about spiritual things and we can share what you're leading us to share by direction of the Spirit and with his assistance and his help. Father, we thank you that
The best days are yet to come for Pastor Sarah, for myself, Pastor Greg, and this great body of believers, you said, Redeeming Love Christian Center. Best days are yet to come for all of us. And we thank you, we believe it, and we thank you that it shall come to pass because you're leading us to fulfill that word. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you for this place that we have to worship in. And we thank you and we look to you, Holy Spirit, for direction. We look for guidance. And we thank you that you will think through our minds and reveal and unfold the scripture to us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as I was sharing, we're continuing in living a spirit-led life, and we're going to continue on what we were sharing Sunday on identifying the witness or identifying the inward witness. We're going to continue with that and just add a little more to that. So let's turn to Romans 8 and verse 14 so we can read that scripture together. It says, this is the King James Version, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit, we're going to say Himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know, let's take a little side thing here for a moment. When you see this in verse 15, it says, We've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption. You know, when you think about that, that means that we've been given a place that we don't necessarily belong. We've been accepted. Well, a thought just came to me. What is the name of this church? Redeeming Love Christian Center, where the love of God is evident, the word of God is taught, the Spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested. When the love of God is evident, there's the spirit of adoption. There's an acceptance. And so when the love of God is evident, people should come into this place and feel accepted. Just like you felt accepted by God. Is that not true? You think about that. I don't mean to get off on that, but it just thought occurred to me that just the way we've not been given the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That means we're welcomed. So if that spirit is evident in us, people should walk in here and feel loved and welcomed and embraced. Almost like heaven's family. Isn't that not correct? And we shouldn't have to try to do that. It should flow out of us. Something to think about. And this is the New Century Version. It says, this is Romans 8:14, the true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. You have to let him lead you. You've got to first recognize that he's in there, and then you have to, once you recognize, well, the Spirit of God's in me, you have to then yield to him. And one thing I've become aware of, and I think this is something that we all can think about, and it's I don't know if it has anything to do with this particular lesson, but you think about it, and if it doesn't, then maybe you can think about it another time or see how it does. But the thought just occurred to me. How many of us have pursued things with all of our energy because we were hungry for something? And when you're hungry for something, I don't care what it is, you're going to go after it. And when we're hungry for God, and when we're hungry for knowing the Holy Ghost, we'll pursue. But what happens is, I think, this is personally, and this can apply to anyway, we all can look at this in areas of our life, when we're complacent and we're comfortable, everything's all right, we're not hungry.
Right.
We're not hungry enough. And I think, I mean, there can be other reasons, but I think sometimes we may not be seeing the demonstrations in the church because the church ain't hungry. They're just comfortable. They're not hungry. And when they're not hungry, he becomes less real to you. Because, and maybe this is part of the lesson, maybe we'll tie it in this way. Let's turn over to, well, we're in Romans. We're in chapter 8. But let me just back up a little bit because we're in verse 14. Because it just came up, but let's read this here and go to verse Romans 8. And verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. It means you're comfortable, right? But they that are after the Spirit, that means you're hungering after something. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. They mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. That doesn't have to just mean negative things. When I say carnal, it doesn't have to mean something sexual. It just means that you're after things that are worldly. You're not spiritually minded. It says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So when we're hungry for God, we will be what? Spiritually minded. You're going to put some things aside. I'll say this, when you're hungry for God, when you're hungry, let me go here, you'll turn off the TV. Because the TV won't matter because you're hungry. Let me tell you something. When I after I got born again and I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I had a hunger because they weren't teaching the word
in the church that I was going. This was Pastor John. He was teaching it, but I was hungry for the Word of God. Hungry. And you've heard Pastor Sarah talk about it. Their hunger for the Word of God. And my hunger, I took every single personal vacation that I had, and then some, and was sitting in somebody's meeting because I was hungry. And not only just sitting in those meetings, I was in the prayer room. I would go to the Kenneth Copeland meetings, and I would be in their intercessory prayer room because I was hungry for the Spirit of God, hungry for the Word of God. So I made choices. I didn't care about this. Nope. Sorry. I got something to do. Sorry. I'm going over here. I didn't care what people thought because I wanted that. And I was hungry. So my mind was not on carnal things. My mind was on that. Spiritual things. And so that's what I went after. So when we're hungry, we pursue. When we're hungry for spiritual things, we pursue those things. And other things we put aside. Now, we have all different types of responsibilities. Parents have children responsibilities, we have job responsibilities. But even in that mix, every one of us, when we hunger for something, let me tell you something, you can put aside things that get in the way so you can have more time for spiritual things. And every one of us, if we were honest, we'd say, yeah, I can find time. I could find time. And every one of us, because it's out of that hunger for God that we will grow and we will see more of Him. Because when you, let me say it this way, when you hunger after Him, then you're, and when I would say it, you're reverencing, you're pursuing, you're reverencing Him, and He will begin to show Himself in your life strong. He'll put you, He'll lead you to fulfill that heart's desire. Just like when we have a mind to go after carnal things, you know, when we pursue those things, what does it say? It's death. But when we pursue spiritual things, it's life. It's the Zoe life of God and peace. And that's one of the things I wanted to just touch on this evening. We were talking about on Sunday, and I'll just touch on that for a moment. We were talking about in this where we're talking about being identifying the inner witness. We can turn over there for a moment. Let's turn over to the book of Acts. We'll touch on this for a moment. Acts 15, Acts 15, 22, Acts 15, 22, it says, then it pleased the apostles and elders. What is it? It pleased the apostles and elders, with the whole church, to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas. So here, and then in verse 25, it says, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. In verse 28, it says, for it seemed good to who? To the Holy Ghost, and what does it say? And to us. So here's this co-witness seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. And you can see, and of course, if you read the rest of that particular account, you can read on down further, and verse 34, you can see again, it says, notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there. Still. And then verse 35, Paul also and Barnabas continued at Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. So they had a difference of thought here, and it caused a contention. But you can see here what happened, because it pleased Silas to stay. He was there so Paul could choose him. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. So we were sharing on Sunday how it's good to be led by what seems good, so that as I'm being, you know, when it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not to your own understanding, when you have choices, use your intelligence, use your brain, well, use your mind, I want to say it that way, because your mind is not your brain. Your brain is nothing more than a physical organ in here. And of course, we all know this. If somebody's brain was impaired, they may not be able to express themselves, but their mind is intact. And many have been able to, through medical means, being able to express themselves, their mind's intact. Just their brain's not functioning properly. So let him think through your mind. Do research. Do all that. But when you get down to the end, what seems right? What seems like the best way to go? You look at what gives you peace? What gives you an inner peace about it? The more you think about this, if I've got five choices and I say, well, this one looks good, and this one I'm not sure, and what about this? And I've got these. Which one, when I look at it, seems right to me? And there should be an inner witness to that, and a co-witness. And that's what we're talking about. And Sunday, I was saying, we were using also another way of expressing that. What gives you inner peace? What gives you peace? He's referred to as the Spirit of peace, the God of peace. And so for a moment, let's look at, this is another way we could call, how we can recognize the leading of the Spirit of God. Let's go to Isaiah 26 for a moment. You know, every moment you wake up, although you're awake, the time that you're awake, you have to make choices. Should I do this? Should I do this? Should I do this? So often, Isaiah 26:3, so often we make choices based on how we've been raised, how our parents made choices, how our circle of friends made choices. And sometimes those choices are just, they're not being led by the Spirit at all. And I'm learning to follow this inward leading, this inward peace, regardless of how I've done things. Well, you know, I always buy Fords. My daddy bought a Ford. We had Fords, so we buy Fords. We don't buy Chevys. We always buy Fords. Or you could say Chevys or Pontiacs or Chrysler or whatever it is. That's what we buy. Well, maybe the Ford is right for you. Are you being led by that or your experience? You know, it's no different. We hear this. You, I know you do. Well, you know, my whole generation, we voted Republican or Democrat. That's how we vote. Mama did it, Daddy did it, grandfathers did it, and that's how we vote. And so when you get there, it's like, that's it. I'm stepping. You never take the time to even ask the Holy Ghost, and he may be leading you a different way. No. No way. We don't do that. And see, think about this for a moment, though. I mean, it's funny, but it's sad, because if the church is to be led, those that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Let me ask this question. Why should there be contention in the church over politics?
Amen.
Do you ever think about that?
Yes.
I have. Because it's ungodly.
Amen.
There's no peace in it. You have people bickering over this. You have churches campaigning against one or the other. If God has handpicked someone to be in office, you think maybe the whole church might be in on that? Should be. But what happens is, when we don't pray, what is 1 Timothy? We're talking about, let me just keep you, stay in Isaiah, but let me just go over here. I'll read it to you. What does this say? It says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving thanks be made for all men. And it says, for kings and for all that in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodness and honesty, in godliness and honesty. So if we're being led, if we're yielding to him, then God's person will be put in, whether it's politics or whatever, will be put in places of authority. And we won't bicker over it. And there will be peace. It's quiet when you talk about these things, but you know what? It's so anyhow. It's so, because sometimes it's like, well, I don't know about that. Well, then, you know, put aside what you think and meditate on these things, because it has always made me ponder and wonder why the church is at odds over things, when the church is supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. What it tells you is that a lot of the church doesn't even know their Spirit, doesn't even recognize that there's someone living in them. Or we could say it another way, the church is carnal. That's being real. The church is carnal. And so those that aren't, we have a responsibility to pray for those that there'd be unity in the faith. Amen? So Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. See, so that's back what we were talking about sharing in Romans 8:5, where it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. See? You pursue those things. And what does it say? He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the spiritual things because you trust in him. So another way we could say, we're back to tying this together, about when you think about your choices that you have to make, you're thinking, Lord, your mind is on him. Lord, help me make this choice. Help me make this choice. There's peace. Does that make sense? Because your mind is not on, I know what to do. I got this. See? But I want my mind to be on him. Help me. I'm trusting in thee to help me make this choice. And he's giving me peace about the choice. Does that help? See, if you're feeling frustrated, if you're feeling agitated about making a choice, don't touch it. Don't touch it. Just hold steady. If you're feeling, I'm feeling like I'm being pushed, I'm feeling like I'm just unsettled about this. Just feeling unsettled. No peace. Then don't make the choice. See, that's what I was saying Sunday. When you have to make a choice, should I go to the doctor? Shouldn't I go to the doctor? Should I have an operation? Shouldn't I have an operation? Should I take this job? Shouldn't I take this job? When I think about those choices, what gives me peace? And as I've said before, well, let me use this example. For me, I don't know about you, but I'm just going to share what I experienced. In 2000, when the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to go to the doctor. If you don't, you won't see the end of the year. So that told me, you're going to die. And that was 6 months. 5 months, 6 months. It was in July, the end of the year, that's 6 months. So eventually, I got myself in gear and obeyed that leading and went, I just went to the emergency room. And this doctor said, you know, take this. Well, I've never taken medicine. Not because I didn't want to. I didn't need to. And so he said, take this. Okay, fine. I'm in pain. I needed something. The Holy Ghost led me to do this. Okay, fine. I'll yield to that. So you need to get it. You need to go get a special, see a specialist. Here's this person. Go see this. Okay, fine. I go. I see him. And I walk in. They didn't examine me. They just took information. Ba-da-da, take this. Da-da-da-da. He walks in, you know, as they do, walk in. Well, this doesn't look good. I'm thinking, I'm serious. First thought in my mind, you're an idiot. I did. I just said, this guy's an idiot. He never even touched me. He never touched my stomach. He didn't ask no questions. He just said, this doesn't look good. Really? So he said, what are you taking? I said, this. No, you got to take this. I said, okay. So fine, I take it. He never told me what I needed to do because this was a stomach
thing going on here. He didn't tell me what I should eat, not eat, stay away from. He said, just take this. You know what I did with those pills? I chucked them. Because I said, that doesn't make any sense. And I had this unsettling inside. It was like doing this. An inner witness, this is not right. Never went back. I never went back. I said, this is not the right way. It wasn't that I shouldn't follow through with it, but that wasn't the right person. That wasn't the right choice. And so I didn't. And so through a circuitous route, I ended up seeing a nutritionist. Now, he was a doctor, but he was a nutritionist. He was a chiropractor and a nutritionist, and got me turned around. And it felt right. As soon as I walked in, I said, this feels right. This is it. So when we have to make choices, and you're sitting there going, and you're trying to, what do I do? That is not the time to pick up the phone, call your buddy, your friend, your girlfriend, or whatever, to say, man, I just come back. What should I do? They're not the helper. They may commiserate with you, sympathize with you. Oh, I'm really sorry to hear that. How's that help you? Who is the one that's going to give you the inner witness? It's the helper, the Spirit of God. And so we need to learn, when I have choices to make in front of me, as I think and I ponder on those choices, I'm trusting in the Lord to give me a witness, a co-witness inside that brings peace. It's another way of saying that. That brings an inner peace. Or it seems right. That's another way of saying that. Seemed right to do. Seems good to do. And that's why I say, you need to follow that regardless of what people say. See, even where, that's why I keep going back to this. We're not led by pastors. We're not led by prophets. We're not led by prophecies. You can get a personal word on this floor from me, from whoever. And if it doesn't bear witness with you, if it doesn't seem right, if it doesn't give you peace, put it on the shelf. Brother Hagin said it for years, walking in the office of the prophet. He would say, I'm a man. I could miss it. This is what I believe the Spirit of God is saying. If it doesn't bear witness with your spirit, put it on the shelf. See, it's not, thus saith the Lord, I have this. Yes, you do, but does it bear witness? Does it seem right to you? That's what you have to be led by. That's what it. That's what you should be doing. So we looked at Isaiah. Let's take a look at a few other scriptures. Romans 14. Romans chapter 14. I look at verse 19, Romans 14 and 19. It says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify one another. The New International Version says, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. God's Word says, let's pursue those things which bring peace. If you go to make a choice and it doesn't bring peace, don't follow it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Sometimes we end up spending money that we didn't need to spend, getting involved in things, friendships that we didn't need to get involved with. If you don't have peace, cut it. Stop it. Back up. Choices we have to make. Pursue. Let's pursue those things which bring peace and which are good for each other. There's a scripture. Well, back, I'm going to read this because this is another translation in Romans 8:5. Let me read this here. I'm going to jump back here for a moment. It says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. This is the Good News translation. It says, those who live as their human nature tells them to, have their minds controlled by what the human nature wants. Now, this is what we're talking about, being led. Those who live as the Spirit tells them to have their minds controlled by what the Spirit wants. See, that's being led by the Spirit of God. To be controlled by what human nature, or to be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. So when we yield, when we say in Romans, those that let the Spirit lead them are the sons of God. So when we let Him lead, when we let Him have control, there's peace. There's peace. You don't have peace about something, leave it. Put it on the shelf. Whatever that choice is. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. These are all familiar scriptures, but you can see these scriptures in the light of being led by the Spirit of God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. Well, let's look at verse 6. Be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If we keep our mind stayed on Him, we'll be in peace. Don't be anxious for anything. And the peace, see, when you do that in verse 6, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall do what? Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This peace will keep you, will direct you, will lead you in the right way, because you're keeping your mind stayed on Him. You see that? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Good News translation says, and God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe, listen to this, in union with Christ Jesus. That's talking about, to me, I could look at that and see in union. That means I'm letting Him lead me. I have a co-witness. He's in union with me. I'm not separate. I'm looking to Him. He's keeping my heart and mind at peace. When I think about this choice, is He giving me peace?
Is my heart and mind at peace about it? Does that hook up with you? The Young's literal translation says, "And the peace of God that is surpassing all understanding shall guard your hearts and your thoughts." See, if your thoughts are feeling frustrated or vexed or confused, you're not at peace. And those thoughts should be. When I think about this, do I have thoughts of peace about the choice I'm about to make? Colossians 3. Just turn right over there. Colossians 3 and verse Help me on this scripture. You can give me that. I typed it up. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Huh? Oh, I'm in the wrong. Excuse me. I'm looking at the wrong chapter. It is Colossians 3:15. I'm looking at 2:15. It'll never work. Right. 2:15. 3:15. "And let the peace of God" do what? "Rule in your heart." This is, we're talking about being led by the peace, the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of peace. He's the God of peace. And he leads by peace. It seems good. That's another way. It seems good. I have peace about going in this direction. Colossians 3:15. "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Listen to this in the Good News Translation. "The peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions you make." You need to look that one up. The Good News Translation. It says, "The peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions you make. For it is to this peace that God has called you together in the one body, and be thankful." See, that's why I'm convinced that if there's peace, if there's unity in the church, see, that's one reason there's no unity. Because they ain't letting the Spirit of God lead them into unity. Isn't that true? But that's changing. The Weymouth New Testament, and says, "And let the peace," listen to this, this is good too, "and let the peace which Christ gives settle all questionings in your hearts." Should I do this? Should I do this? What about this? What about this? Peace will settle all questionings in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. It leads, it guides, it settles the questionings in your heart. I hope you're getting a little bit of it from this, because this will help. I'm going to close with this scripture. Let's go over to John chapter 14. Let's look at verse 26.
and 27. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you in all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He knows everything about everything. He will bring all things. What does it say? All things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let your heart not be troubled. Let peace guide you and lead you. Let the peace of God lead you. Let it rule in your heart. If you don't have peace, see, I'm telling you, this is an area that if you will follow this, I've heard Brother Hagin say this. There was a young man who was a young man, came out of very poor, meager backgrounds, started to follow these principles, and by the time he was 30, he was a multimillionaire, and by the time he ended up, he was in the billions. He was a billionaire. Following investments, in other words, investing. But he wouldn't just invest. Somebody would come, and of course, you know, once you get known, people come, hey, come hook up with me, but let's invest in this. So you have big money decisions, $1 million decisions, multi-million, because you got lots of money, multi-million-dollar. Now, when you get to that place, you don't want to make the wrong investment, the wrong choice. So the story is that he would get in his closet and pray and stay there for a few days and come out and make a choice and be led by peace, led by that it seemed good. Even though your head's going, that's the craziest thing I ever thought. That makes no sense. But here it's like, yep, let's do it. And something that seemed right, it's like, boy, this is it. Down here, it's like, don't touch it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And I'm convinced if we follow that in every choice that we'll make, we will not miss it. We won't miss it. And I'm making every effort that I can to hunger after this and I desire it. You know how we say, Paul says, desire spiritual gifts. I desire not to miss it. I desire him to lead me in the smallest choices that I make so that we don't miss it. And we can. We can do it. I know we can. Praise God. Amen. I hope this is helping a little bit. Because I think this is where people live. And here's the other thing. Don't get in oh my God, I missed it. I made a bad choice. So you made a bad choice. Get up and keep going. So you missed it. We all missed it. We've all made mistakes. We've all missed the promptings of the Spirit of God. We ignored them for whatever. So what? Keep moving forward. Pick yourself up. Keep going. Amen? See, I'm convinced, whether it's family, children, investments, diet, I'm convinced that if we follow his leadings, he'll tell us, don't do that. Stop eating that.
We always eat that kind of food. I like that kind of food. Okay. Do you like being in the hospital? No. See, so we have to make choices. It's this kind of thing. If we are carnally minded, it leads to death. So if we always want to satisfy our human nature, it leads to death. And so if we want to follow the Spirit, sometimes those choices run contrary to our flesh. Because we want what we want. But if we follow the Spirit, if we keep those things in our mind, it says leads to what? Life and peace. Amen. Hallelujah.